Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your fathers worshipped and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Bring.
While the choir are leaving the stage, can we just sing that last verse together, please, as a reminder that we are always His. He is always ours, and we should be serving Him. Thank you, Mark. Together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come into this place to worship, to lift your name high, and to sing your praises. Father, we ask you will help us to be able to worship this morning in spirit and in truth. That, Lord, as we come, we might have taken notice of those words that we've sung and rededicate our lives to serving you again this morning. So hear our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to each and every one of you, and to those who are listening and watching online as well. It's good to be able to share together. A couple of notices before we go into the service. You see this red postbox here? Next to it are some forms for your comments on worship. If you want to fill in, there's a questionnaire there, if you want to fill in and put it in the box, then Nathan and the leadership team will have a look at them and see if there's anything that perhaps we could do better. See if there's something that perhaps we are doing that we shouldn't be doing. We're going to have a look at those in the coming weeks. As you know, Nathan's been leading us through worship. And so there are forms there. Take some, take one, fill it in. Pop it in the box. We've got 2 or 3 weeks yet before we meet together as a group. Also, on the table are some envelopes. The heating has been in this church for many, many years. Can't get parts for the boiler now, so if the boiler packs up, then we're going to have a cold winter next winter. We don't want that, so we are looking to renew the heating system, which obviously costs money. And if you can give, please take one of those envelopes and pop it in one of the two boxes in the church. There is a saying from one of the supermarkets that every little helps. And so whatever you can give, if you are a taxpayer, it's great. If you want to be able to put your name and address on, then the church can get another 25% back from the government, which would be very helpful. I'm not going to go into the cost. I'm going to leave that between you and the Lord as to what you put in those boxes. Right, we're going to have the birthday box next. I've got this done early in the program. I want to know if there's anybody here, any young person, who has a birthday, either just had one or has got one coming up this coming week. I heard a yes. Well, there's a first time for everything, and this will be the first time I've had anybody come down and see me. That's great. Come down. Somebody else? You got a birthday as well. Good. Well, if you want to come and have a little look. Joan White's birthday as well. Julie as well? Wow, we have a lot of birthdays. And another one. Wow, I am doing well this morning. This is making up. Right, well, before, nice to see you. And your name is Rebecca, lovely. And we have, who else have we got here? What's this young man's name?
Josh.
Josh. Okay, Josh. Good. Should we sing Happy Birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, he'll bless you. Happy birthday. Right, if you want to take any something from there, that's fine. Have I missed anybody out? I'm hopeful. No. Lauren. Lauren. Where's Lauren? I can't see Lauren. Oh, that is Lauren, is it? Sorry, Lauren. We sang happy birthday to you as well. All right. All those with birthdays, we have quite a few this week, by the sounds of things. Some of the adults and some of the children as well. Good. Well, it's nice to be able to share together as a church. And when Nathan gave me the subject for this morning, it was, what should I expect to see through worship? Now, it was difficult to start with to choose anything to sing. But when I looked in more into the subject of seeing, what should I expect to see? And so our first couple of songs talk about seeing. First of all, seeing Jesus lifted high. I'm sure this is what we all want to see. We want to see Jesus lifted high for our worship. But we also want to see him personally and get to know him better. And so we're going to sing two songs that reflect that. We want to see Jesus lifted high and Light of the World. Stand and sing if you possibly can.
Thank you.
preaching earlier about being on the Lord's side. And our next song says, I will serve no foreign gods. But with the thought of seeing and worshipping Jesus this morning, let's sing, I lift my eyes to the coming King, along with open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I see.
Please be seated. And I pray for the young people, and then they will leave us and go to their group. So let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that this is a multi-generational church, as well as a multicultural church. We thank you, Father, for the young people that are here. We pray as they go to their groups that they will be blessed. We pray too, Lord, for the teachers, the leaders, the helpers, for those that teach. And Father, we pray for them, that you will give them the patience and the wisdom that they need in dealing with all the situations that arise. So, Father, bless them all, we pray, as they leave this place and go to their groups. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, young people, if you want to leave, go to your groups. If you're not sure where to go, just go through. Somebody will be there to take you. They have a good group of young people today, lovely. We're going to have our prayer time, but before we do that, it's about a year ago when the Ukraine war started, and so we'll be praying for them as well, but Mark's got just a very short video of the Ukraine national anthem that he would like to play. Thank you, Mark. Heavenly Father, we have prayed many, many times for Ukraine, and yet the war still seems to go on. Father, we pray that you will just bless those in that country who have been persecuted in the way they are. Father, there are many who have lost loved ones, many who are grieving. Father, we continue to pray that you will bring an end to that war. But Father, we pray that we know that your time is not our time. Your ways aren't our ways. But Father, we would pray earnestly in the name of Jesus that you will bring an end to the conflict there. Father, we also pray for those still suffering in Turkey and Syria due to the earthquakes. Again, many lives lost, many families suffering. Father, we pray that they might know your peace. And we pray for all those who are seeking to assist in the rescue efforts and assist in the rebuilding. Father, it's a mammoth task, and we know that all we can do is to pray and support. Father, we do pray again for them and ask that you'll bring your peace into that situation too. Father, for ourselves here in this country, we thank you that we live in a place where we can freely open your word, freely sing together as we have done this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be thankful for all the good things that we receive on a daily basis. Father, we're people in this church fellowship that need a special touch from you at this time. You know who they are, where they are, and we commit each one to you. Father, we could pray for a long time, for many things, but you know our hearts, And Father, this morning we just want to bring you our thanks for all the good things that you give to us. Pray for Nathan as shortly he'll bring your word to us. Father, bless him and use him, we pray this morning. May we hear you speaking through him, that Lord, we might each one be touched by your presence here this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a Bible reading from Revelation. And the Bible reading talks about God being holy. You know, it's quite an amazing thing that we don't just read that God is holy, but holy, holy, holy. It repeats itself. And from Revelation chapter 4, we're going to read some verses. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were seven lamps blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Amen. We'll leave the reading there and we'll sing that hymn, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." After we've sung this, if we take our seats and the worship team will sing a song to us, we can quietly sit in the presence of the Lord, and then Nathan will come up and lead the rest of the service. Let's stand and sing, "Holy, holy, holy."
Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Surely, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Well, greetings, church. It's so good to see you all this morning. I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here today. And today is the final sermon in our worship series. Let's talk about worship. And I pray that you've been challenged and blessed over the course of this month as we've explored some of the subjects in the scriptures concerning worship. And we've talked this month about the approach, how we approach God in worship, that God is holy, and we approach him with reverence and adoration. We've also talked about the culture, our various cultures and backgrounds, how we approach God with our cultures. And we talked about that we have a unified kingdom culture that allows us to worship God. And then last week, we talked about the emotions. As human beings, we are emotional human beings. And we asked the question, should we leave our emotions at the door when we come to worship? But today, we're looking at the subject of what should we expect to see, through worship. And I want to call your attention today to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to commence reading from verse 1. It reads like this. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings, and with twain, old English word for two, covered his face, and with two covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah speaking, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips, and thine iniquity, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Isaiah's response was, here I am, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you that your word is powerful and life-changing. And we pray now that as you speak to us, we pray that we would be receptive to hear from you today. I pray now, as the Apostle Paul prayed, that you would give me the boldness and the utterance to speak, to make known the mystery of your gospel. When it's all said and done, we want your name to be glorified, and we want to leave this place knowing more of you. Continue to conform us now to the image of your Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What should I see? What should I expect to see? What can I see? What can I see through worship? I really enjoyed Sunday school today, said the 6-year-old girl to her father. Everything about church today was just amazing, the girl exclaimed. But the little girl went on to share with her father in her childish innocence. If only God was here to see how good church was today. If only God was here. And friends, this morning I would like to suggest that the remarks of the six-year-old girl is not just a dose of misguided cuteness, but even for many adults today, there is a sense of curiosity, isn't there, as to why do Christians spend so much time pursuing worship to a God that to the eye of the unbeliever and to the natural eye, we cannot see. Church, it has been the bee in the bonnet of atheists who believe that worshipping a God each week and on Sundays as the church, who never makes a physical appearance, is just simply an exercise of futility and a mere waste of time to unbelievers. It's almost like, can you imagine booking tickets to see your favorite artist in concert? And you purchase the ticket, you make all of the necessary travel arrangements, and you arrive on time, and you buy the t-shirt with your favorite artist's name on it, and you take your seat in the arena, and you patiently await the main event, listening to all of the backup performances. But when it comes to the main event of the evening, the main performance, the main attraction of the evening, you are greeted with the news that your favorite artist has not shown up. I'm sure you would leave feeling rather disappointed, with a sense of frustration, feeling shortchanged, feeling like it was just a waste of time. And church, in like manner, whenever we come to church on Sunday mornings, the main purpose of our meeting together is to encounter the living God. Our sole reason for being here, church, although fellowship is important, it's an important part of our being here, but the main purpose of our time together, friends, is to meet and to encounter the power and the majesty of Almighty God. And church, as we desire to encounter the living God through worship, it is imperative that we understand, as we've been talking about all month, that worship cannot be limited to our favorite song. Worship cannot be limited to one specific culture or preference, but worship is our heart's posture towards a holy and an eternal God. Worship is solely based on the character of God, and here it is, the position of God. Worship is not based on what we can get back from God, but worship is based simply on who God is. So even if, and God wouldn't do this because he loves us so much, but even if God decided not to do anything else for us again, even if he decided to withdraw his blessings for us, then I believe that even if he decided to do that, then God would still be worthy and deserving of worship. Because simply for who he is, that he is God and God alone, it merits that we should worship him. Because God, the Bible says, is great and he is greatly to be praised. And friends, today it's important because although worship is all about our duty to worship and to honor our Creator. And although true worship is not based on the pursuit of trying to receive something back, but here is the exciting prospect of sincere worship. That through worship, church, through Spirit-led and Spirit-filled worship, we have the wonderful potential to see something amazing from the divine. And I want to ask the question today, friends, what have you seen lately? What have you seen in the past through worship? What do you see today through worship? Because it's one thing to say, church was good today. It was a really good time together today. I really enjoyed the singing. I really enjoyed the worship. But I sense really strongly in preparation this week that the Holy Spirit is challenging and asking the question to us, but what did you see? What did you encounter through worship? Yes, it was a good time together. Yes, it was a good time to be in church. But what impact did worship have in our lives? What did the Lord show us as we worshipped Him? It was Jimmy Cliff in the 70s who recorded a song. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. And gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. And it's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Now, I don't know what caused Jimmy Cliff. I don't know what caused his dark clouds to go away. And I don't know what vision he was talking about. But here in the text, in Isaiah chapter 6, we see a divinely inspired prophet of God who was inspired by the Lord to see a wonderful vision in the spiritual realm. And a vision that can show us the wonderful potential that worship can have in our lives. And although God is too big, too vast, to be confined to one man or one woman's perspective or vision of worship, because each of us may have our own unique experience and vision that God shows us in worship. But this morning, through Isaiah's vision, I would like to leave with us this morning just three possibilities that we can all see through Spirit-filled worship. And the first thing we see through worship is the recognition of what needs to die. Through worship, we see the recognition in our lives of what needs to die. Now, Isaiah, it's interesting, in chapter 6, it opens by saying that in the year that the king Uzziah died, Uzziah, the king of Judah, his name was Uzziah. And Isaiah lets us know that it was in the same year that the king of Judah died that Isaiah saw something life-changing. It's interesting, friends, that when we study the life of King Uzziah from the age of 16, when he became the king of Judah, and for 52 years he reigned as the leading voice in Judah. And for the main part of his tenure, Uzziah was extremely successful as a king, especially in the area of military and defense for Judah. He was able to withstand the ongoing threats of the Philistines who would try to besiege Judah. However, unfortunately for King Uzziah, his fame and the popularity of his kingship, it got to his head, and he became arrogant and prideful, began to boast, insomuch that he would disregard the Mosaic law and he would burn incense on the altar, which was a priestly function only. And as a result, church, his disobedience, it led to the Lord striking him with leprosy, which led to his ultimate death. And church, in like manner, as we worship the living God, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and recognize some of the things that we may be holding on to. Some of the things that we are gripping tightly. And could it be that through worship, the Lord is showing us those things and saying, you need to let go of them. Give them up. They need to die. Because through worship, we can see the need of what we need to let go of. We need to let go and let God have his way. As Jack Hayward puts it, worship changes the worshipper into the image of the one worshipped. It is not the will of God that we worship him and remain the same. Worship, it challenges us to make some changes in our lives. True worship will cause us to die to ourselves, to lay down those burdens, friends, to let go of those negative thoughts plaguing our minds. Isaiah says it was in the year that the king Uzziah died. It was in the year that he died that I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It's amazing that although Judah would have been mourning as a result of their king's death, they would have missed their king. He was a popular king, a popular man. But even in a sad time for the nation, God was about to show Isaiah and the people of Israel a wonderful vision of the glory of God. And friends, for us, it may not be physical death that's required and needed. But what are some of the areas within our lives that through worship, God is calling us to let them go? Throw them away, discard them in the bin. It's like that program that comes on in the telly, Hoarders. How many of you have seen Hoarders on the telly? And when they come to visit the homes of people who are struggling to throw things away, struggling to see the need to declutter the home so that the house can look lighter and refreshed. And I don't know who this is for today, but are you worshiping God but holding on to something that you need to let go of? Are you worshiping God but there's something in your back pocket that you would just want to keep and hold on to, but God is saying you need to throw it away. Let it go so I can show you something amazing through worship. Because true worship, friends, it requires the decrease of humanity, the decrease of our flesh, so that we can experience the increase of God. And church, all of us, myself included, we have to guard our hearts against some of those things, some of those areas in our lives that creates a pathway jam for God to move through worship. Because we often pray, don't we? Lord, we want you to move. Lord, we want you to have your way. Lord, would you move in the service? We want you to take control, Lord, of our time together. But could it be that God is saying, I'll move. Yes, I'll move. But would you get out of the way? Get out the way so I can move. And I believe the Lord is calling us as a church in this season that we have to assess within our lives what needs to go. Could it be that pride has to die? That self has to die? That ownership in place of stewardship has to die? That unforgiveness has to die? That gossip has to die. That backbiting needs to die. And as John the Baptist put it so wonderful, he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So for Isaiah and Judah, Uzziah died. But for the church of 2023, what needs to die so that we can see the Lord high and lifted up? So number one, recognize what needs to die. But secondly, we need to realize, we see through worship, Isaiah says, the need for repentance. The need for repentance. Friends, have you ever noticed that when people bump into, maybe this has happened to you, but bump into someone famous, a celebrity, you ever notice the way that they behave? There's a sense of awe. There's a sense of feeling overwhelmed of the moment. "I can't believe it," they say. Some even start crying in the moment. They struggle to hold back the tears because they can't believe that they are in the presence of someone famous. When I was a youngster, one of my favorite pop bands in the late 90s, early 2000s, was a group called S Club 7. Anyone know S Club 7? I loved S Club 7. They had some classics like "Reach for the Stars," "Climb Every Mountain Higher," "Ain't No Party Like an S Club Party," and "I Never Had a Dream Come True Till the Day That I Found You." Classics. And a few weeks ago, Anna let me know that S Club 7 are reuniting after some 20 plus years, and they're coming back together, and they're going to be performing in London in October. And because she knows how much I loved S Club as a kid, and we're both millennial people, and she said, "You know what, we should go. We should get some tickets and go in October to see S Club 7. But when she had a look at the ticket prices, and she told me how much it cost to go and see S Club 7, I said, "Anna, forget it." I said, "No problem." I said, "Here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. We can go down to the local Sainsbury's. We can get ourselves a 2-for-1 special. And we can wash it down with some Mr. Robinson squash. And then we can go home. We can put on the laptop on YouTube for free. And we can type in S Club 7. And we can have our own concert by ourselves. We can have our own S Club party by ourselves. And we don't even need to travel." But you'll be amazed, church, how far people will go, how much money people will spend, the lengths that people will go to be in the presence of someone who's famous, someone who's popular. However, what I love about Isaiah's vision, church, is after he recognized that he was in the very presence of Almighty God, the one true God, the first thing Isaiah mentioned, he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me." In verse 5, Eugene Peterson's Message, he puts it this way: "It's doomsday." Ah, thank you, Mark. You're just right on the ball, Mark. It's doomsday. "I'm as good as dead," he says. And church, Isaiah recognized the severity of the moment. The vision that God allowed him to see in the spiritual realm, it allowed Isaiah to see the glory of God. And whenever a mere mortal human being is invited into the courts and to the presence of Almighty God, it doesn't matter what position we may hold. Whether you are the prime minister, whether you are the king, whether you are the president, whether you are the archbishop, whether you are the rich and the famous, whenever we are invited into the presence of Almighty God, there will always be a sense of feeling undone. Woe is me. Woe is me. And church, through worship, the splendor of God's presence, the radiance of His majesty, it will cause us to bow the knee in our hearts. It will prick our hearts. It will convict us. And it will allow us to say, Lord, forgive me. I am undone. And church, can I tell you what I'm praying for? What's on the top of my prayer points personally? I'm praying that the presence, the authentic presence of Almighty God will be so rich and so evident in our services each week that people right in their seats will be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm praying that the presence of God will be so evident in our meeting together that even before the preaching, the preaching of the word takes place, that people will cry out and say, I am undone. Lord, forgive me. I believe it's possible. But we've got to let go and let the Lord have His way. When we are in the presence of God, friends, it's like looking in the mirror. And the one thing about certain mirrors is they tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, I'm convinced in my gym, some of the mirrors in the gym, I'm sure they've done something to those mirrors. No, seriously, I'm convinced there's something that they do to those mirrors. They make you look better. It's true. But when you look in those authentic mirrors, they tell you the whole truth. And even through worship, when we worship Him, the Lord allows us to see a reflection of ourselves. Those areas where we're undone, so that we can cry out to Him in repentance and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. So what do we see through worship? Isaiah lets us know we have to recognize what needs to die. Too much clutter in the way. Discard of the rubbish. Secondly, realize the need for repentance. Realize that we're undone. But finally today, finally this morning, through worship, we can also receive direction. Can we say that together? We can receive direction. One of the things about sat navs in our cars, especially the modern maps now, Google Maps, is that whenever you take a wrong turn, it has the capacity now to reroute. And you'll see come up on the screen, it says rerouting. And it spins and it's trying to recalibrate so that you can get back on the right track and get where you need to be. And church, through worship, not only do we see the need for repentance, but through worship, Spirit-filled worship, we can also see that God can impart in our lives direction for the future. And for Isaiah, after he recognized that he was undone, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? In other words, I have a plan for Judah. I have a plan for my people. This vision through worship is not just so that you can have a wonderful time, Isaiah, but through worship, I have some work for you to do. It's just like a good teacher. A good teacher will always give you homework. It's like there's a preacher in America called Dr. Carter, and he would say in his American accent, a good sermon will always leave you with homework. Homework. And it's not that we come to church, we have a good time, sing our favorite song, then say, oh, that was good to be here. Then we go home and it's back to the usual mundane. But through worship, God can reveal to us his plan and his purpose for our lives. That's why the Bible says the steps of a good man or woman, they are ordered by the Lord. We worship so that we can receive direction for our lives. And sometimes when we come into the presence of the Lord, we're heading in the wrong direction. And we need to be rerouted, recalibrated. And when we know we're in the presence of the Lord is when he reveals to us some of those areas in our lives where we're heading in the wrong direction. And through the Spirit of God, he puts us back on the right track and he sends us off in the right direction. So I want to leave with you today. What is the Lord showing you in terms of direction? What is he saying to you about the decisions that needs to be made in your life? Is there an important decision that you need to make as a family? And here's what I love about worship. Worship, as we said, is about solely based on the character of God. It's not necessarily that we want to receive anything back from God. But through worship, he can even show us clarity about some of those areas and points in our lives that we're lacking clarity on. We may have some confusion, don't know what decision to make. And through worship, he can show us a perfect, clear picture of the decisions and the choices that we need to make. Even as a church family, we can have our own items on the agenda. We know as a local church that we are seeking the will for a new youth leader, children's and youth leader, aren't we? And we're praying for the Lord to send us in the right direction. And sometimes in our humanity, we may even ask the question, Lord, why is it taking so long? Why can't we see the person come now? But I believe sometimes we have to, through worship, say, Lord, yes, this is what we would like to see, but what do you want to show us about this next step for the children and the young people? Could it be that you are showing us something that we have not yet thought of? We see the need, but Lord, what are you showing us by way of clarity through the Holy Spirit? Friends, I don't know what decisions need to be made in your lives, but through worship, God can give us a vision of clarity. Clarity. And not only do we have the potential to receive clarity, but just like Isaiah, we can receive a mission to serve. What is it that God is calling us to do? What is it that God is prompting us to go and start for his glory? Who will go for us, the Lord said. Whom shall I send? In worship, could it be that there's so much things in the way that we can't hear the voice of the Lord saying, who will go? But as we empty ourselves before him and offer our hearts to him, I believe God has the potential to speak to us and to say, look, and to say, whoever you are, whatever your name is, will you go for me? Will you go and do my bidding? Will you go and start this house group? Will you go and serve in the children's work? Will you go and join the worship team? Will you go and share my gospel, this lost generation? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? As we prepare to close and the worship team come back, prepare to continue in worship, as we draw this service to a close, I want to ask the question today: what do you see through worship? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. And like Isaiah, we recognize that there may be areas in our lives. There may be things that we're holding on to that we need to let go of. So would you help us now and show us those things so that we can let them go and leave them at your feet? Lord, we don't just want to come each week, have a good time, and go home. But we want to be changed. We want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We want to be charged through your Holy Spirit with direction and purpose for our lives. So in the spirit realm now, would you allow us to see? Allow us to see a vision of you. Help us to let go of those things that we're holding on to tightly and release them in our hearts now. And finally, Lord, if you are showing us, like Isaiah, something that we need to do, would you reveal that to us now? A decision that needs to be made. Would you help us to make the right decision? Show us your perfect way. Show us your perfect plan. There may be one who needs to give their life to the Lord Jesus. Help us to do that just now. There may be one who needs to be baptized. Help us to make that decision now. Less of us and more of you. In fact, help us to get to the point where we can say none of us and all of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just mentioned there about baptism, and we have two people who have indicated to me a desire to be baptized, and we're going to be starting shortly some pre-baptismal classes. And if there's anyone else who feels led of the Lord and you would like to consider being baptized, then please do come and speak to me after the service, as shortly we will be starting the pre-baptismal classes, and it most likely will start on a Sunday. It will be on a Sunday after our morning worship. So please do speak to me after the service if you would like to talk about baptism. And finally, I would also like to extend to you all a warm invitation to meet us back here this afternoon. Yes, 3:30. If you'd like to come and meet us for our all-age worship service, you will be so welcome to come. Last month we had a wonderful first all-age afternoon service, and it was well attended. So I'm praying that we will again keep that up and come out for 3:30 and you can have the evening to yourself. So come back 3:30 and for a great time of worship as our young people will be leading the service. God bless you, worship team. Amen. Our thanks to David and the worship team for leading us in worship today, and thank you for being here in worship together. And please do join us in the church lounge for teas and coffees and biscuits and a good time to fellowship with one with another. Just before I pray the benediction, just to let you know, I will be away some parts of next week from Tuesday to Thursday. For our SEBA Ministers Conference that's taking place in Ashburnham. So if you need to get, I will have my phone, if you need to get hold of me, it may be a little bit delayed, but please do, if there's any pastoral needs, please let the pastoral team know, or our office, and I'll be back by Thursday afternoonish. So I look forward to seeing you next week. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Father, again, we thank you so much for this time of worship, this time of fellowship and meeting with you. And Lord, as much as it is wonderful to see our brothers and sisters in Christ, to see our friends, and you allow us to do that, and it's an important part even of worship. But most of all, we desire to encounter the living God. And I pray each time we meet, that would be at the forefront of our hearts, so that we can see you high and lifted up, and the train of your glory filling the temple. Lord, we want you to be high and lifted up. So, Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, even though we're being dispersed from this meeting place, we can still worship you wherever we go. And we pray each day that we would encounter you afresh each and every day. Until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now, as well as forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Amen.